It is good to see Brother Inderjeet here. I'm glad he's out of the hospital and able to come. The Lord really does hear His people when we call on Him. He really does answer His people. And He makes us willing to bow to whatever His will is when we ask Him. We're thankful for that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12 now. Paul begins here in verse 13, and he says, "What is it wherein you were inferior to other churches?" And the Corinthians were not. They were not inferior to other churches. Christ filleth all in all. And He does not do anything wrong. And so He makes certain that all His churches have all things necessary. Christ filleth all in all. Their pastor was not inferior to any of the chief apostles. Paul was not inferior to any of them. So they weren't inferior to any of the churches. They had been given the very same gospel of Christ that all the other churches had. They had been quickened and called to faith in Christ and gifted with all the gifts and graces of God like all other brethren had been. Paul had been given the ability by Christ to do all the same miracles and to confirm the gospel among them just like He did in other churches. Christ filleth all in all. They were not inferior to any of the churches. But to add to their ingratitude, there was one way they did differ from the other churches. And Paul says it's being inferior to the other churches. Where were you inferior to other churches except it be this? He said, "I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. While all the poorer churches fully supported Paul, so that he could devote all his time to the Scriptures and to the preaching of the Word, this wealthy church in Corinth would not." And when Paul discovered they would not, Paul refused to take any money from them. Why did he do that? Look at verse 14 there in the middle. "For I seek not yours, but you." I'm not seeking your money. I'm seeking you. Verse 15, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." And look at the very end of verse 19. "We do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying." This new spirit that Christ imparts to each believer is the same spirit that was in our Lord Jesus Christ, that makes Him willing to edify His people at His own expense. The same Spirit, the very same Spirit Christ has, is the Spirit He imparts when He's formed in His people. It's the Spirit that He imparts to His people. That Spirit wherein Christ was willing to lay down His life for His people, willing to do all things to edify His people at His own expense. That's the Spirit He puts in His child. So as we look at Paul here, we're going to consider Christ and the Spirit that was in Christ. Now, first of all, Christ sought nothing from His people. Christ sought nothing from His people. He came seeking His people. Paul says there, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you." Now you think about all that the Corinthians had done to Paul. They had injured Paul greatly. They had betrayed Paul by going after these false preachers. And still Paul says, "Behold, I'm ready to come to you a third time." Paul came to them. They were able to stay at home? Were they where they always lived. They were able to live amongst their family, their friends. They were able to work their jobs that they had and stay where they were and not be inconvenienced with a move in any way. Paul picked up everything. He forsook all that. And he came to them. And Paul risked his life. He risked life and limb to bring the gospel to them. Look at back up at chapter 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned. He says, I suffered shipwreck three times, a night and a day in the deep. All those dangers and waters and in robbers and with countrymen and by the heathen and in the city, the wilderness, the sea, false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often and hunger and thirst and fastings often and cold and nakedness. All these things are things Paul suffered going to preach the gospel, coming to where his people were to preach the gospel to them. You know, when I think about Paul's suffering, as hard as I see and the great length he suffered, I have to think of this. That's nothing compared to what Christ suffered to come to us. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's high, brethren. That's as high as you can get. That's in the throne of glory. To be one with God. To be God. And yet, Scripture says, He left that glory. And He took upon Him the form of a servant. He made Himself of no reputation. Took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And once He made that stoop, He made another stoop. He humbled Himself as a man and became obedient to God even to the death of the cross. And He didn't come to take anything from us. He came to give us everything. And we did not treat Him with anything but total hatred when He was here. He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. And since Christ suffered like that, brethren, Paul knew this, and you and I know this, that we shall suffer in the cause of Christ. When I see what Paul had to go through to go the lengths he went to, it just makes me want to shut my mouth in murmuring. When I growing up, we drove a long ways to church. And I would get to murmuring sometimes about it. And my grandfather would say one simple statement. He would say, "Have we come as far as Christ did?" And that just shut me up. I get on an airplane, you know, get up early in the morning sometimes and go to an airport and all, you know, park and get on a bus and then go over to the airport and get on the plane. And you know, you get to thinking about all your travels and sometimes it's snowing and all these different things. But brethren, I don't have to get on a rickety old wooden ship that people had to paddle and face a hurricane to bring the gospel in. But I get to sit in a nice, comfortable seat in an airplane and be there in just a few minutes. I don't have to complain about anything. But we wouldn't want it any other way, would we? You wouldn't want to live a life of ease seeing as how your Savior suffered like He suffered. Christ said this, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they receive my word, they'll receive your word." I don't want to live a life of ease and have it easier than my Savior had it when He suffered like He did for me. But Paul didn't come when he came to them. He didn't come to lay a burden on them. He didn't come to lay a burden on them. He said, verse 14, I will not be burdensome to you. Now, it should not have been a burden at all for these believers to support Paul, seeing that he went to such lengths to bring to them the unsearchable riches of Christ. That shouldn't have been a burden to them at all. But seeing it was, Paul saw that to them it was. And so Paul didn't lay that burden on them. He took it off of them completely. Preached Christ freely to them. Now, that Spirit came from Christ. Christ came to where we are and took all the burden off His people. That's what He did. He removed the burden of the curse of the law by being made a curse for us. Isn't it so easy to say that statement? It just takes a second to say that statement. But you think about what is involved in that statement. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Himself being made a curse for us. Everybody is so uptight about saying that He made Him sin for us. He made Him a curse for us. He came and He removed the burden of the bondage of our flesh so that we could actually believe the gospel and have love in our hearts to love one another. He took that burden of this bondage and this flesh off of us so we could believe. And when He did that, He made us to see He had taken the burden of trying to fulfill the law off of us, because He came and fulfilled the law completely for His people, so that now through faith we establish the whole law of God, believing on Christ who established it all for us. You see, because He suffered like He did, that burden's off of us. We'll never suffer the judgment of God. There, you know, if you're righteous before the law of God, past, present, and future, the law can never, ever say anything to you. You don't have a thing to worry about with the law. That is, you know what a burden that is to be taken off of His people? You do know it if you're a believer. You know it. That's a huge burden off of us. The love of Christ, the love that He gives His pastor for His people, is that of a father to His children. That's the love that Christ gives a pastor for the people to whom He ministers. It's the love of a father to his children. He gives the same love to those who are older in the faith toward those who are younger in the faith. The love of a father to children. Paul says there in verse 14, I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Where did He get that Spirit? Christ sought nothing His people could give Him. He sought nothing His children could give Him. He came to give it all to us. And He came not seeking what we could give Him. He came seeking us. God's elect, those that God gave to Him before the foundation of the world. He said, I came seeking the lost sheep is who I come seeking. You know, say a woman has a most valuable coin. It's worth millions. And she loses that coin. And she takes a light and she goes through her house and she looks everywhere she can look in that house. She turns over everything in that house, looks through all the drawers. She turns over, looks under the bed, looks between the mattresses. She looks everywhere she can look for that coin. Until she's found it. And when she found it, then she has reason to rejoice. She calls all her friends together and says, look, I found this coin that was lost. Christ said, that's what it's like for me to find one of my lost sheep. There's rejoicing in heaven over one of my lost sheep. I put on my shoulder and I bring them home. He said there's more rejoicing over that one repentant sheep a child than there is over 99 that think they need no repentance. Believer, repent. Turn from you. Turn from trust in this world. Turn from this world and you and your will and your works. Turn from all of that and cast all your care on this merciful and gracious Redeemer. Christ came to be our everlasting Father. Now you think about why He's called the everlasting Father. We were born of Adam by His corrupt seed. But that relationship will end when our flesh dies and goes back to the grave. Adam will cease being our Father. Christ won't ever cease being our Father because He makes us to be born of incorruptible seed, the Word that lives and abides forever. And so He'll ever be our lasting Father. That's what He came to do. He came, and when Sarah bore Abraham a son, Scripture says Abraham gave Isaac everything he had. Christ gave us everything He had. Scripture says we're joint heirs with Christ. He laid up for us, didn't He? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again so that you'll be where I am. He laid up what Scripture calls salvation ready to be revealed. That means it's laid up. It's done. It's finished. It's secure. Ready to be revealed. Ready. That's the Father laying up for the children. And that's the Spirit and love that He puts in the heart of believers. That's the Spirit and love He puts in the heart of His pastor. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 5. Paul says, neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a disguise to cover up covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory. He's talking about monetary gain. Neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, even when it was our just due, he's saying. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, not yours, of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Look at verse 19. What is our hope? What is our joy? What's our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and our joy. You know, every child Christ saves, robed in His righteousness, created anew in His righteousness, in His holiness, every child He saves is the crown of rejoicing to Christ. It's the glory of Christ. Every child He saves. Every child He saves shows how mighty He is to save. That's so. And that's even the good works He works in the believer. Those good works are not because He needs us to give Him something. Those good works are so that He might see, by the works He works in His people, He might see His own glory and the glory of His workmanship. You know, if you were a carver, let's say, and you carved out some beautiful sculpture. When you got through doing that, you'd step back, look at it, and admire your work. Well, that's what, when He works anything good in His people, Christ is just admiring His work. We're His glory. We're His crown of rejoicing, brethren. And it's the same way for Paul. Paul didn't desire money from them. You know what Paul desired? Paul desired to see some sign of life in them. To see some love in them. To see that his labor wasn't in vain. He wanted to be able to step back and look at them and say, the Lord did that through the gospel I preached. Oh, it was worth it being shipwrecked. It was worth it being whipped 8 different times. It was worthy to do all that because I see what Christ worked in his child. But he wasn't seeing that in the Corinthians. He said this, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit that encourages me that you have the life of Christ in you. Fruit that encourages me that my labor is not in vain. That's what he's talking about. Then look at this too. Secondly, Christ loved his people even when we did not love him. Christ loved his people even when we didn't love him. And that's the love he put in Paul for his people. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:15. Paul says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I'll very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You consider that through Paul preaching the gospel, you think about this now, Christ, through Paul preaching the gospel to them, Christ gave these sinners at Corinth eternal life. You know how badly some of us have desired for our children to be saved. Christ, through Paul's preaching, Christ called out many of their children and gave them faith in Christ. Wouldn't that make you just be so thankful and be your heart would just be in love toward him for what he for his work's sake? And yet the more abundantly Paul loved them, the less they loved Paul. And fact is, because that was their heart toward Paul, it proved that in many of them, that was their heart toward Christ. Christ said, what you've done to my minister I've sent, you've done to me. What you've done to my child that I'm dwelling in, that I've sent, that I believe, that I brought to believe, you've done to me. That's so me and you, every believer. And Christ is where Paul got that spirit. He loved his people even though we did not love him. Look at 1 John 4. Look at verse 10. Herein is love. This is true love right here. It's not the thing that worldly men usually call love. This is true love right here. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now watch this. Beloved, if God so loved us, if He loved us when we did not love Him, we ought also to love one another. He's saying, when their love grows cold toward us. He loved us when we didn't love Him. And if He loved us after that manner, we ought to love our brethren after the same manner, even when they don't love us. Doesn't the spirit of grace in your heart, knowing what how Christ overlooks your shortcomings and forgives you of your sin, doesn't that make you want to you make excuses for your brethren when they trip and bumble something up, don't you? It makes you want to you look for the best in them. You want to speak of them in a favorable light. You don't want anybody speaking unkindly of them. That's what the love does in your heart. You love them even though they're not showing love to you. They must have had a bad day. You know, you just anything you can use to make an excuse for them, because you love them. You don't want to lay anything to their charge. Christ doesn't lay anything to your charge. And if we feel otherwise, brethren, Christ knew our hearts of enmity. Remember this now. If we feel otherwise, we feel like we're not going, well, they're not loving me like they ought to. I'm not going to be nice to them. I'm not going to love them. Remember this. Christ said this to us. I'll very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's what Christ could say to us. Remember that. That's what's amazing to me. Even though they did not love Paul, in the face of Paul loving them, he still said, I'll very gladly spend and be spent for you. I'll very gladly do it. Free justification cost us absolutely nothing because it cost Christ everything. Justification's free to you and me for one reason. It cost Christ everything. I had a teacher one time, and she didn't pull any punches. And whenever kids would be, I don't know if they still do it, but sometimes kids got free lunch. And whenever kids would be getting free lunch, that lady reminded those kids every single morning, there's nothing in this life free. Every single morning she reminded them that. Well, our salvation's not free. It's free to us, but it cost Christ everything. And that was when we did not love Him. We did not love Him. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. You know what I desire? I desire for God to increase His love in me toward His people. That's what I want. I feel like I think I have the love of God and for His people in my heart, but I want it more. Paul said to the Thessalonians, grow in this grace, in love, more abundantly. This is the chief grace to make our aim is to love more abundantly. We pray, Lord, this is my prayer, Lord, increase my love for your people. I might have told you this one time. I had a friend who was in the church at the church I was in Tennessee, and we were talking one night, and he said to me, I think my problem is I just don't love the brethren. And it was not very long at all that the world just opened up and swallowed him up. And I hadn't seen him since. If we don't love the brethren, we don't have the love of God in our hearts. We don't love God. I want to have such love in my heart that I'm ready to spend and be spent for His people. I want to be exhausted of everything Christ has given me, all the substance I have. If I have to spend everything I have, I want to be willing to do that in love for my brethren. I think I would do it for my children. Why would I do it for the children that God's given me to minister to? They're more my children than my own children. That you'll always be my brethren. Thirdly, I want that because I see how Christ does everything to edify His people. Even when Christ sent us the gospel and He revealed to us the deceit of our own heart, as painful as that was to us, brethren, that was for our good. That was for our edification, wasn't it? Paul says here, verse 16, but be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Paul is saying what the false preachers were saying of him. This is what they were accusing him of. They accused Paul of not taking money because he was trying to take advantage of them some other way. That's what they said. You see, with a Pharisee, you can't do right. He's going to blame you. Paul didn't take money from him because he was trying to help him, and the Pharisees blamed him for not taking money from him. And if he'd have taken money from him, then they would have said, see, he's just extorting money out of you. But they said, he's being crafty. That's what he's doing. He's got full of guile, they said. Deceit's in his heart. But in a sense, Paul was crafty. He did catch the Corinthians using deceit. He really did. They professed to believe on Christ, but while they professed to believe on Christ, they really had received these false preachers and started listening to them and giving them credit. And they were doing that secretly. And Paul found out about it. So he did, in a sense, catch them being deceitful. And yet it was only for their edification. All these things he wrote to them in this letter, and some of these things are pretty hard. But they needed it. Sometimes, you know, you have some children that just melt from looking at them. But you have some other children that are just hard-headed, and you got to deal with them in a more hard way than you deal with the other one. Well, these Corinthians were some hard-headed folks, and they had to be dealt with harder. But everything Paul said to them was for their edification. Not anything was done to harm them. Paul, he speaks repeatedly about that, you know, about the power that he's given as an apostle for your edification, not for your destruction. And so that's what he was using. Christ does nothing to fleece his sheep. Christ does nothing to harm his sheep. Everything he does for us is for our edification. Verse 17, Paul said, did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent to you? Christ can say that. Did I make a gain of you by any preacher I've sent to you? Christ can say that. He sent the preachers. Did I make a gain of you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Christ can say that of his preacher and of his people. Walk we not in the same spirit? Same spirit. We're born, every one of us born of one spirit. One spirit. The spirit of Christ is in every one of his people. We walk in the same spirit with Christ. Walk we not in the same steps? And because that's true, this was the spirit that was in Paul. And Paul said, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? See, Paul wasn't guilty of the things they were accusing him of, so he wasn't trying to make an excuse for anything. And he wasn't apologizing to them for anything because he didn't have anything to apologize for. He said, don't think we're making an excuse or excusing ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ. We do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. That's what this is for. It's so difficult for sinners, for you and me, when we have to be corrected, it's so difficult for you and I to realize this is God in Christ correcting me, isn't it? If we're His, He's going to get the lesson across before it's over. But almost always in the beginning, it's you know, you could hear the preacher preach and preach the gospel, and you just, that's from God. That's not of man. I don't want to compliment him. I don't want to puff him up. But the second that same preacher has to correct somebody, no, that's not of God. That's, he's just trying to use his authority to run roughshod over me. No, that's of God too. It's of God too. But they weren't seeing that. Paul said, but we are. We speak before God in Christ. We're doing all things, dearly beloved, for you edifying. Christ only edifies his people, and he gave Paul the same spirit. Go over to 1 Corinthians 9:12. Christ only edifies his people, brethren, and that's the spirit he gives to his ministers. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:12. He says, if others be partakers of this power over you, or not we rather, he said, do we not have a right to be supported monetarily from you? Others are doing it. These false preachers were doing it. Paul said, nevertheless, we have not used this power. But we suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. That was Paul's motive in everything he did. He didn't want to be a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Look down at verse 19. Verse 19. He says, though I be free from all men, he wasn't a servant of any man. He said, yet I've made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. I don't want yours, I want you, Paul said. That's why I've become a servant to all men. Look at verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Look at this. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. You see that? Everything was for the gospel's sake. Everything was to remove himself out of the forefront and out of the light and from their focus, to keep their focus on Christ. If he'd have taken a dime from them, they wouldn't have been able to focus on the gospel he preached for accusing him of trying to fleece them. And so he said, it's not worth it. Just not worth it. He said there in 1 Corinthians 10:33, I'm not seeking my own profit. I'm seeking the profit of many that they might be saved. Brethren, let that same spirit be in us. This is the spirit of Christ. This is the spirit he puts in his people right here. To do everything for the edification of our brethren. To love our brethren even when they don't love us. To not seek anything from them, but to lay up for them. To do all things for them. This is the spirit of Christ. And this is the spirit he gives his people. This is why the Church of Christ is a harmonious place. And why the Church of Christ is like an oasis in this dry desert. When you finally find where the Church of God is, and you come in and you sit down and you rest under the sound of the gospel, you found a peaceful place. Because God's people see what sinners we are, and we're not trying to blame one another and find something to accuse one another with. You know, we want to serve one another. We want to edify one another because we love one another, because we see what Christ has done for us, and he put that love in our heart. This is, like Paul said here, I'm doing everything I do for your edification, that I might be a partaker of this gospel with you. And brethren, that's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching to you. I don't want yours. I want you. You that don't believe, I don't want anything from you. I want you to believe on Christ. I want us to have this mutual love for one another. I want us to be partakers of this grace and this gospel of Christ together. You know what I enjoy? I enjoy being able to talk with my daughter about the gospel. That's a joy to me. She's my sister in Christ before she's my daughter. And I can talk with her now about the gospel. I love that. That's what I want with you that don't believe. So let this spirit be in us too, brethren, toward one another. All right, let's stand together. Father, we thank you that you've been so gracious to your people. We thank you for giving us hearts to be selfless and make us, Lord, to be more selfless. We see ourselves as so selfish. Make us more selfless. And Lord, we thank you that you put us together and you bring your people in just according as they're supposed to be added. And Lord, we pray that you would keep us loving one another. Keep us in harmony with each other. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless your people through the word. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have. We're so thankful that you've blessed Brother Indigeet and let him come home from the hospital. And we're thankful, Lord, that you're blessing those that are falling on hard times right now. And pray for Brother Mike Walker, who just got out of the hospital with heart trouble. And Lord, we pray for Brother Darvin and Sister Kathy. Pray that you'll comfort them, comfort that church there that's mourning with them. Lord, whoever wherever your saints are that are troubled and we don't know about it. We pray that you'd use us in any way, spend us and make us to be spent for them and whatever we can do to help them. And Lord, thank you. We thank you for Christ. Thank you for what you've given us in Him, given us everything needful. How we thank you, Lord. Forgive us now of our sins. Forgive us our murmuring. Forgive us of thinking that we've done much or anything like that, Lord. We haven't done anything. And we thank you that Christ did it all. It's in His precious name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Eric.